Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Happy Sunday, everybody. Let's open up with prayer this morning. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you're proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I've been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Living in the way of the world, living in the way of Jesus, or living in both worlds. Those are some of the challenges that face everybody. And for many people, they are living in the way of the world and they're living in darkness. They do not know about Jesus Christ. There are people in the world who are struggling with knowing who they are or what they should be or who is guiding them or who should be guiding them. They are in the darkness. There are many people in the world who are living in the way of Jesus, that is, living in the light. In John 8:12, it says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That means we are to look for Jesus for light. In the evening sky, you'll see lots of stars up there. Lots of light, all created by God. It is those lights out there that guided many ships back in the olden days. They had to look for the stars, certain stars, to guide them along their journeys. They looked for the light. We too look for the light of the world. The light, however, is in Jesus Christ. But we have people who are trying to live in both worlds, and you just cannot do that. And Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, or in some translations, God and possessions. You have to serve God. The things of this world are trying to trump us up. They're trying to deter us off the path of righteousness. God loves it when we as sinners go to Him. There's a couple stories I want to share with you from the Bible. The first story is recorded in Luke 7. Verses 36 through 50, it's about the sinful woman who was forgiven. There's a correlation in there between this woman and Simon. When, you know, there's a question as to, well, who loves Jesus more? And Jesus has a parable that he talks about that. Let's read in Luke 7. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this was who was touching him, for she is a sinner." Jesus answering and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And Simon replied, "Say it, teacher." Jesus said, "A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt to both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." There's another story in the Bible, and I'm sure most of us are familiar about the story of Paul, who was Saul at the very beginning, persecuted many Christians. And Paul realizes, of course, and he understood that he was a big sinner at one time. Let's read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with the 15th verse. Paul says, "This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Do you think Paul loved God a lot? I'd be willing to bet very, 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 very much a lot. In fact, so much so that he was willing to go to prison for teaching of God's word. Now, when Jesus called Levi in Mark chapter 2, Jesus makes it a point to say, "It is the sick who need the doctor." Starting in verse 13, we read, "Jesus went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he rose and followed him. As he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners.'" So now it comes down to who is not well and who is the doctor. Well, who is not well basically puts everybody in the same boat. We all have the same sort of ailment. That ailment is sin. The Greek term translated sinner in the Bible carries the idea of a person who is missing the mark, as an archer who misses his mark. Thus, a sinner is missing God's mark and is in fact missing the whole point of his or her life. Ordinarily, we think of a sinner as someone who is severely immoral, evil, or wicked, but the Bible tells us that every person is a sinner. For in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God." That means we need a doctor. Now, I'd be willing to bet that most of us probably see some sort of a doctor. They have their annual checkup. And why do we do that? Well, we do that to gauge each year of how our life is unfolding, how we're doing from year to year, and maybe catch something in an early stage when it can be treated. But when we go to the doctor's office, we're basically checking up on our physical body. What about our spiritual checkup? In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away immediately and forget what he looks like." Well, maybe sometimes we look in the mirror and we would like to forget what we look like sometimes, but that's not what we're talking about here. We are to do what it says in the Bible. We are to do what God commands us to do in the Scriptures. We need to listen to the Word and do it. We need to read the Word and do it. Simply to listen and not do anything about it is not the way to do it. It's kind of like going to a fitness center and you sit on a chair and don't do anything. You're not going to progress. You're not going to grow. You're not going to get stronger by just sitting in a chair watching everybody else exercise while you just sit there like a lump on a log. It's not going to work. Our faith is the same way. It needs to be exercised. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 through 29, it says, "Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." When we take communion, it's so very important that we remember what Jesus Christ is about, what he did for us, and what that does for us. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." And in Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Do you see a trend here? It's a spiritual checkup. Listen and do. Examine. Test. Transform. That means we need to go to Jesus. We need to go to the light. We need to get spiritually in check with God. Conducting a spiritual checkup is further amplified for our benefit. And when we use the warning system that God has given us, which is the Word of God, we need to spend more time in the Word, and our spiritual muscles will then grow. Daily, God will give us spiritual manna. This nourishes our spirit and mind and soul, and it strengthens our relationship with God, with Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. As we let the message of Christ dwell among us richly with all wisdom, He will equip us to become spiritually fit and in order to fulfill our purpose and glorify Christ. So it's time to visit the doctor. And I mean the doctor with a capital D. A sinner needs a doctor, and the doctor is in the house. And those who see the doctor of our spiritual life will live. In Ezekiel 18, it says, verses 21 through 22, "But if a wicked person turns away from all his sins that he has committed and keeps all my statutes and does what is just and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of the transgressions that he has committed shall be remembered against him, for the righteousness that he has done, he shall live." It's simple. We need to turn to God. We need to have our confidence in Jesus Christ. He will forgive us. You see, the gap between sinners and God can only be bridged through the Lord's act of redemption, by God Himself coming to the human side of the gap through Jesus Christ, who is God with us, and the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent in His place. On the human side of the divine, the kindest, most virtuous people are sinners, and the vilest, most evil people are sinners as well. All are sinners. But as it says in Romans 5:8, "But God shows His love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Those who believe in Jesus Christ will have their sins forgiven and are granted eternal life. For in John 3:16 and 17 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." You see, no matter where we're at in our step with life, Jesus Christ is there inviting us to come to Him. No matter how bad things might be, no matter what kind of a sinner we might be, for we have all sinned, no matter how bad they are, we could have been like Saul, or we could have been like that woman there. Jesus Christ says, "Your sins are forgiven." Christ's mission on earth is His fulfillment of God's eternal purpose, and that's the restoration and salvation of sinners. Like I said earlier, and Jesus said it best, "It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Oh, yes. Nothing brings more joy to the Lord's heart or more rejoicing in heaven than when a sinner is restored to the right relationship with God. You remember the parable of the lost sheep? How about the lost coin? Or the prodigal son? If you don't know any about those parables, then get out your Bibles and turn to Luke 15. All three of those are right there. And they're not very long. But there's one phrase I want to mention, and that's in verse 10. Talks about the excitement there is when people come to God. Verse 10, it says, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Wow, think about that. The more people that come to Jesus Christ and ask for their forgiveness, the angels are just leaping and up and down for joy. Yes, another one has come home. We all need to come home. We all need to go and see the doctor. For there is only one doctor that can heal us from our sin. There is only one doctor that can forgive our sins, and that is Jesus Christ. As sinners, we have all missed the mark. We all stand guilty as charged. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, sin is kind of like rebellion against God. It's disobedience. It's the violation of God's law. And it must be punished when there is a violation out there. But we as sinners cannot pay the penalty of sin without perishing, because the punishment required then is death. Only Jesus Christ, sinless, spotless perfection, hits the divine mark. Christ has made the full payment for sin. Through his death on the cross, Jesus satisfied God's justice, perfectly vindicating and freeing from condemnation all sinners who receive him by faith. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He is our doctor. And through God, we have the forgiveness of sins. That should be something indeed glorious. A happy Sunday, yes indeed, because Jesus Christ is there for us, and he will give us the guidance that we need through the power of the Holy Spirit to live out our life according to the way of the light. And when there is light, the darkness will flee. When there is light, we can see. Receive Jesus Christ today. Receive him into your hearts, into your minds, into your very soul. Because see, Jesus wants everybody. And if you're sitting on the edge out there somewhere and not sure where to turn, make sure you turn to the Holy Scriptures and read it. Make sure you turn to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. Not just right now, not just today, but every day of your life. And when you turn to Jesus Christ, there will be the promise of eternal life. See, there is going to be a day when we will be face to face before Jesus Christ. A day of judgment. Everybody, whether they know it or not, are going to be there. I pray that for each one of us listening today, that we will be at the front seat there, and Jesus will say, come on in, my child. You are welcome into heaven. There is this prayer that many people have heard about. Billy Graham kind of actually made it popular as well. It's called the Sinner's Prayer. I invite you to join along with me in saying it. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins so I could be forgiven. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for coming into my life. Amen. And may the grace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious upon you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace, love, and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. May God be with you today and every day in your life. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.